IVM. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 172 of Shunya One, continuing the series. Today we have Saurabh Saxena, who's the founder of a very cool new app called Uable. It's a social networking app for teenagers. I mean, social networking, brand new. Teenagers, also a new category, and some very cool stuff that we actually got into. I've known Saurabh for a long time, actually, from ages ago, from where he was doing a whole different thing, but still very much in a very similar space. So it was really interesting catching up with him and talking about his journey and, of course, what he's building at Uable. So I hope you guys will like it. Let's take a break, come back, and start this conversation. Hi, Saurabh. How are you doing? Welcome to Shunya One.
Hey, Shiladitya. Good to be here. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for coming. And of course, good to see you after years and years and years, I think.
I know, man. We met first time, I guess, 10 years back in the Tata Anyan event, if you remember that.
Probably more than that, 10. Yeah. I think that itself has
14 years.
Probably 15 years or something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy how long back that was. The world, or rather the Indian startup scene, was a whole different place, I would say.
Yeah.
And it was probably the first ever startup event of its kind, for that matter.
And that was my first ever visit.
Didn't call it startup.
That was my first ever visit to Bangalore.
Yeah. It's crazy. How long back that was. Before Bangalore became the startup city, before startups were called startups. Yeah, it's good to reconnect. Good to see you, and of course, hope to catch up in the real world. And thank you for doing this show, because there's so much we would love to talk about and hear from you about what you're building now. But given that, you know, everyone listening obviously is thinking what the hell Tata Anyan was, why don't you give us a little backstory of your personal journey? Because, you know, what I know of it is very, very interesting.
Sure, man. Looking forward to this conversation. So, yeah, I think my journey started way back in 2006 when we all decided to quit our jobs, which we did for 5-6 months or something like that. And the idea was always to start something of your own. In 2006, interestingly, startup was not even that known term in the Indian ecosystem. For me, it was a new term, honestly. And we just started our first venture. We became educators, launched our first learning center in North India. And because that was with two reasons, that was one of the easiest businesses to start without any high capital investment. And second, education was interesting. We were always passionate about how can we change education? How can we add value to a child's life? I think both things fit together well. I started my first company that went by the name of Laksh from 2006 till 2012. Built that out, expanded to 5 cities with my other 3 co-founders. We all were teachers, built out a team of teachers, administrators, expanded to 5 cities, 10,000 learners every year. So it was a bootstrap business, but great fun ride. Learned a lot as an educator. More than an educator, I learned a lot as an entrepreneur, how to manage a business. Did a lot of mistakes on a daily basis. Sold that company in 2012. And just 1 year before that, 2011, with my other co-founder, I moved to Bangalore to start my second venture, which is Vedantu, which is a much more known name now in the startup ecosystem. Whatever we learned in our journey of Laksh, we converted everything into an online setup. And we were fortunately the pioneers in online live tutoring in India. Launched one-on-one tutoring, moved to one-to-few tutoring, and then launched our model of one-to-many classroom as well. So the next 7 years, right, I spent building Vedantu with the same co-founders. And yeah, it was a fun journey. 13 years in typical edtech, test prep business, building two excellent companies. And now doing something quite different. With my 13 years working with teenagers, thousands and lakhs of them, I realized that test prep, exams, and schools is just one part of their life, but today's teenagers' aspirations, the kind of diverse interests they have, and the kind of human beings they are, they deserve a far wider platform to maximize their own potential. These teenagers are interested in design, art, music, theater, gaming, love and relationships, fashion. I mean, their interests are so widespread now. We won't remember, Shiladitya. I mean, in past, we were always told, yeah, just go to an engineering college and that's it, life is sorted. But today's teenager is very, very different. So today, what I'm doing at Uable, we are building a social network for teenagers where they can explore any interest, build any skill, connect with new friends, bring their existing friends on board, and just maximize their potential in any direction that they want to. So yeah, wow, that's my journey.
So, I mean, in all of this, I think, you know, it's so interesting to see the building blocks of what led you to, you know, building, starting this also. Obviously, the test prep, the EdTech part, well, before tech, it was just Ed, and then it became EdTech. So obviously, you've seen firsthand how, you know, children, I would say, teenagers and children, you know, learn and grapple with learning. With Uable, I know you just described broadly that you're looking at the rest of their life, right? What the other aspects of their life are. When you obviously, you'd seen and interacted with so many students and kids before. So what made you feel like, what made you identify the opportunity here? Like, as a business, right? You said doing a startup, I think we were always driven by passion. You said it yourself. You said we always used to put like solution first, business later. And that's, I guess, also what's there in a founder's DNA. So when you looked at this problem space, or when you were trying to build out, let's say, the kind of product or tech you want to service this industry with, what did you see as the opportunity exactly? Like, yeah, what did teenagers today not have? Because I think there's also, these are also, you can say, there's so much to be distracted by all of this in the rest of your life. So how did you look at it? How do you look at that white space?
So I think goes back to many years of being with these teenagers in a classroom and there and looking at their lives as well. I think the biggest insight that I got was that teenagers were not happy with being told that there are only 2-3 possible pathways for you in life. They are rebellious. They were revolting against this thought process that if I want to become a designer, I can become a designer. If I want to go into startups, I can go into startups. If I want to go into fashion, I can go into fashion. If I want to become a gamer, professional gamer, I can become a professional gamer. Today, if a teenager wants to become a creator, content creator on any social media platform, she can do that. I think the aspirations were growing, Shiladitya, and that was a huge need that I could identify. Secondly, the biggest need while talking to hundreds of teenagers before even starting our development of our closed beta app last year was very interesting. So these teenagers went to Facebooks of the world some years back. They flocked out. Then they went into Instagrams of the world. Now they are flocking out. Correct. While they're still on Instagram, spend a lot of time. Let us understand who these teenagers are. They are neither kids nor adults. They love to connect with each other. They love to connect with like-minded teenagers who have interests like them, who think like them. They don't want to become a part of the adult world very soon, but they want to break out as well. So globally, there was a trend that teenagers were flocking out of the mass social networks and were getting into their own private communities, building communities on Discord, etc., etc. So Discord was a big phenomena amongst teenagers, not just in the US, but also picking up in India. When we started analyzing what are they doing on platforms like Discord, Telegram, etc., they were just building their own private communities around gaming, even around education. So when I'm saying Uable is about interests, it covers everything. We have clubs around study, we have clubs around career discovery, clubs around design, clubs around gaming. So it could be anything that they're interested in. And when I looked at Discord and Telegram, I realized that a huge revolution is happening undercurrent, right? These teenagers are flocking out and creating their own worlds inside. And I saw it as a huge space. And then the third insight was teenagers are becoming financially more and more independent. While they still don't earn their own money, but parents are giving them increasingly higher amounts of pocket money. They have their own debit cards now. They have their own saving banks accounts now. There are tens of fintech companies already solving for this problem of teenagers taking their own financial decisions. So all these three insights combined. First one, their diverse interests. Second one, their need to build teen-exclusive spaces. And third, their increasing financial decision-making, independent decision-making. Were the three insights on which we felt we have a huge, huge opportunity. There are 250 plus million teenagers in India alone. Can we build a social product that is exclusively made for teenagers? Because that is their biggest need. They want a space that is exclusive for them, where they can find a voice, they can express themselves, they can pursue interests, they can connect with creators in areas of interest, designers, stand-up comedians, teachers, motivators, etc., and build their own profile and portfolio of work. They can get help on how to study abroad, which universities to apply, etc., etc. So a space dedicated to teenagers catering to their interests. I think that was a huge white space. And because their financial transaction habit is also going up, we're already monetizing a part of our platform, and where teenagers are purchasing premium content, they're purchasing products launched by teen-focused brands because they have that kind of financial independence.
In fact, not just the fintech startups that say enabling that. I think what you said earlier, teenagers are, I think, monetizing themselves also earlier. I know it's possible to, let's say, make money online today as an influencer, as a coder, as a whatever you may want to do, right? I don't think age is no longer a bar for, you know, getting started with some sort of income. So yes, definitely they have that power.
And just to add to that point, I think that's a great one, because creator economy, we all talk about creator economy, right? I mean, you are a creator. Yeah. We, as educators, we have been creators. So just the word creator is so, such a diverse word with a broad definition. Today's teenager and Gen Z in general want to become creators because they feel if they have a talent and if they can create good content in any field, why wait for a degree, right? While not every teenager will do that, but some teen creators are breaking out and becoming creators on our app. They create content around design, they create gaming streams, they create content around education, motivation, self-help, book summaries, teen-focused stories. Oh. The range is just endless, right? So we have teen consumers, teen creators on the other side. While on the creator side, we invite even adult creators, college creators, etc. to add value through private communities and premium content. But you rightly said, teenagers are becoming creators today and monetizing both their content and now even planning to monetize their communities. We are working with some young teenagers who are building communities around K-pop, K-fandom, anime, gaming, motivation. Wow. Yeah. And they are inviting other members to subscribe to their communities, and people want to pay for their communities now. It's a whole different world.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that you're building this as a social network, right? That's another question I had immediately thinking about. That itself is one of those spaces which are so hard to break into, if you think about it. As a, you know, you said that people, or especially this, you know, group of this kind of target audience chooses to not go mainstream. But that also means that would they question that, is this also going to become mainstream one day? How did you think about that problem? And have you thought about that problem up front, given your target audience? And second, building a social network, one more social network in 2020, 2021, whatever, is a moonshot idea in itself. So how did you cross those two barriers?
Yeah, we love tough problems, and that's who we are.
Of course.
So whenever life becomes easier, I think we figure out something tougher to solve. I think two, three things here. First is, yes, building a social network is a tough problem to crack. But if you look at the last 5-6 years of how social network space itself is evolving, right? The mass social networks are struggling to maintain their daily active users, monthly active users. People are flocking out because they have become ad networks at the end of the day, right? Yeah. The deeper value is going off. They are becoming entertainment networks that earn through advertisements. That is what the last social networks are today. If you talk to creators who used to create high quality content on Instagrams of the world, etc., they have also flocked out because these platforms have taken certain steps to discourage those creators and only encourage creators who just create dancing videos and entertainment videos, right? And over the last 5-6 years, we have seen a strong emergence of something called vertical social network. And that has been my own area of work for the last 2-3 years. Any social network that either picks up one need for a large audience or many needs for one kind of audience is a vertical social network, right? And for example, Discord was a vertical social network for gamers, right? Now people who are looking for partners and dating, they have their vertical social networks for dating. So every specific need is being catered by a different network now. And this was a big insight. Yeah. And we realized that the next 10 years would be about people picking up vertical problems, creating networks for those, and adding far deeper value to these people, because people are fed up of shallow networks now, right? While they're still there, right, scrolling the feed, consuming content brainlessly, especially teenagers, you talk to teenagers, they talk about high value content. They talk about sustainability. They talk about good online habits. They want to consume good quality content. While I'm not saying every teenager does, but at least that awareness has come in. And that is where I felt building a social network focused on teenagers that gives entertainment, but high value content and communities as well to them to build skills, pursue their interests, etc. So that was the first insight on the vertical social networks. Second was, how do we avoid becoming massy? How do we avoid becoming just another social network, right? And still remain relevant to all the teenagers, still remain relevant to the millions, right? We are not building a network for right. 500K or 1 million teenagers. It's not just a premium community. Premium communities do exist within right. Uable, but Uable wants to cater to millions of teenagers across the world. How do we do that? I think we have written some axioms for which we just abide by it. We will never do ads, for example, right? We know that today's user is willing to pay for high-value content and high-value communities. So from day one, we are helping creators monetize directly. We are telling creators that if you have great content, monetize it. You just don't keep throwing right. free content to users, and tomorrow then Uable will have to run ads on your content to monetize your content, which really disturbs the inherent fabric of what really a network should be. A network should be run by right. creators and consumers, creating high value for each other. And a platform should just stay away by creating tools and helping them monetize this relationship. I think that has been a big insight for us. And today, teenagers are saying, we want to buy products. We can pay for content. We can pay for communities also. So we are staying away from ads. We are staying away from monetizing the user data, which has been the biggest problem of social networks, honestly.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you couldn't imagine a world where ads was not the only option for monetization, especially in social networks, I think. But it's a bold move, to be honest. And it's great to see that you've said, you know, it's already working out in some ways, because there's enough balance of, let's say, both the creators and consumers on the same platform. You know, there's actually a lot more questions I want to ask about actually how you build this and the tech behind it. But before we do that, I'm going to take a quick short break and come back and continue the conversation.
Sure.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Saurabh, you know, you've obviously been sharing the journey of Uable and, you know, the why and the what you've built. Let's talk a little bit about the actual product and the, you know, the how of it as well. So how did you first go about this? What's the underlying tech? You've said you've built a product which monetizes as well, allows the community to sort of monetize within itself. What did you focus on? What are those challenges on the product side that you chose to focus on to make it attractive to, you know, the user base and to teens especially?
Yeah. I think we started building our product 1 year back, Shiladitya, and the first and foremost rule was build what users really want. It sounds very, very easy to a startup founder, but we all have been founders. Yeah. We have seen successes, failures, but it's a very tough rule to follow because you always tend to bring right. your own passion, your own biases, your own principles into your own product that, hey, I want to build this for my right. user. But at the end of the day, you have to see, do the user even want what you're building for them?
Care.
Do they even care? So to avoid those, a repeat of those mistakes of past, what we did was, we said we'll not start developing our product. We will use something like Discord. We'll get some teenagers on board. We'll create our own community where I was there. My head of user experience was there. My head of product was there. The core team of 5-6 people who have built the entire product. We developed our own community online of teenagers, got teenagers from our own networks, from schools, etc. And started working with them in that close-knit community. We started conducting some events around design, entrepreneurship, money management, self-development, etc. We started inviting creators to that community just to understand what kind of dynamics are at play here. What do these teenagers value? What they don't value? What kind of interactions they do with each other? That is one. And then with the creators. Be it a mentor, be it an educator, be it an artist, designer, etc. I think that was in hindsight, a super valuable move for us, right? For 6 months, we ran that Discord channel where we had thousands of teenagers working with us day in and day out. through that, we understood how communities are built and what are inherent problems in building and scaling communities and content-based networks. And then following the user, we realized what are the problems they're facing on a platform like Discord as well. Creating content on Discord is impossible. Discord is just a community where you can do chit-chat, launch your channels, manage your servers, etc. Sharing content, discovering high-value content, personalization of communities, building your own network, finding like-minded friends to follow, to send friend requests to. There were a list of problems that we started analyzing day in, day out. That is how we started designing our product. We said, what works for Discord? Great. Just copy it. Go forward. Improve it on the user experience and how one feature can be improved. Second, what just doesn't work for teenagers on a platform like Discord or a Telegram? How can we improve that? How can we bring more personalization, better discovery, better content recommendations for them, better community frameworks for them where they can engage with the community also and they can go solo as well when they really are in a mood to consume content and go deep into a field, which was impossible on platforms like Telegram, WhatsApp, Discord, Snapchat, which these teenagers were used to. So I think that is how our product development journey started. In these 6 months, we developed a very basic closed beta app, which we launched amongst the same teenagers who were part of this community. And we said, go ahead, it's an invite-only app. Invite your friends and keep giving us feedback. We launched challenges. We asked them to create content on our app. We asked them to create their own profiles, invite their friends. Every week, we used to do something new on the app, give that feature to them to test out and see two things. One, what is the user feedback? And second, what is the user behavior? One more insight that I got, which was very strange, that sometimes user interviews just don't work. What the users say in an interview and what they do, on the app are two different worlds. I mean, it was so interesting. And then me and my product team started losing trust in user interviews. We still do user interviews, but we do user interview and then we go ahead and check what the user is actually doing on the app and do the two really meet and align. This was a process of 6 months for us, running our Discord server and developing our own app, improving every element and use case in parallel. And finally, in October last year, just 6 months back, we launched our app. We came out of beta when we said, hey, this is the Teens app, a super app for teenagers. Join clubs, follow your interests, make new friends, and access amazing communities, content, and products on YouStore. So we from day one, launched a gamified product where we said there will be an internal economy. You can earn coins here by doing social karma. You can spend coins on digital rewards. You can get great deals on products launched by brands for you. So from day one, we were very clear that you earn coins, you spend coins, you also bring your cash and start buying things. So from day one, we have built that habit that this is a complete app for a teenager. Mm. Right from exploration of an interest, making new friends, going deep in a skill, to purchasing things that they love. We are giving them all on an app. So from day one, our user has been aligned with that use case. That Uable is my go-to app. If I'm a teenager, I have to be on Uable.
Wow, that's awesome. And, you know, obviously the hours of, you said research behind that sort of let you launch the public version with a lot of loaded stuff. And it's been 6 months. So how are you seeing this sort of, play out in the last 6 months? And of course, what's the outlook for going forward? I have another curious question. I'm sure there's an answer already. Is how have you gated this to ensure that the people who use it are legitimate and, you know, I mean, what are you doing to preserve that while also dealing with privacy, identity, and all those other things which play in this sort of gray area of not yet adults, but not kids either.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting space. Dynamic you have to deal with, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is a super, super important question for us, has been. So first thing first, Shilajita, I think answering that question, how has it been in the last 6 months? I think when we came out in October, there was one level of product market fit that we were already at because of our 6 months of deep work on a Discord community, etc. Some things were already working well. We also realized that the kind of teenagers we worked with for 6 months were a little, advanced level users just because of our networks, etc. We got users tier one cities, from top schools, etc. So they were advanced users who wanted to build skills, etc. As soon as we opened our app to the masses, we realized that we definitely missed out on certain use cases that a mass teenager from a second or third tier town is looking for. So when we launched the app, that learning started coming in, that we were able to retain our advanced users really very well, but retention of bottom of the top of the funnel, basically the last set of teenagers who were coming from second tier towns, third tier towns of the country, was not that strong. So for a couple of months, we fine-tuned those elements in the app that bring in more consumable content, daily debates, quizzes, challenges, more, what do you say, hooks for daily engagement that are lightweight, that are fun, bring in more memes, simple short videos around fun and entertainment, still keeping the values of Uable alive, but giving a teenager who is just coming to the app for exploration a lot to explore and engage with, and making the app simple for him. Once the teenager becomes an advanced user, our use cases were sorted. We had creators, we had premium communities for them, premium content from there for them to go deeper into any interest area. So actually, we went the other way around. The app was already working for an advanced user, but wasn't working that beautifully for a new teenager in a new social network, right? So for the next two, 3 months, we fine-tuned those elements. In the last 6 months, we would have worked with more than 500,000 users on the app. So downloads have been good. Wow. Progress has been good. But a very important metric for any social app is the daily active user upon monthly active user ratio, DAU/MAU ratio. Right?
Sticky. User stickiness.
So, DAUMO. Yeah, DAUMO. I mean, of course, I mean, you sounded like an investor right there.
Yeah.
What's your DAUMO? So, yes, the first question investors ask me is, what's your DAUMO? And I tell them that, hey, it used to be 8-9% 6 months back, but today we have crossed 20% DAUMO on the app, which is
that's above average industry.
So that has been a big success metric for us, and we have been at it, engineering every day, every week. What is affecting our daily use case? Can Uable become a daily use case? And today we see for 40-50% of our active users, it is a daily use case, and that is why the DAUMO has consistently grown. So that was one big metric for us. Second metric was, of course, how many users are retaining month 3, month 4, I mean D30, D60, D90, again the standard question that we ask. But it's a very important metric because it's a free app. How are you holding your users with a lot of content and community interactions? And those numbers, M3 retentions, used to look at single digit percentages way back 6 months back. But now our M3 retentions are in double digits, crossing 20-25, closing to 30% as well, which is again improving drastically month by month. So I think these are two main progresses that we have made as a social network and committed a lot of errors. When we launched app in October, next 2 months were absolutely chaotic. We thought we have hit the product market fit, our Discord is working beautifully, we have done everything right. But we realized that so many users were still dropping out on just the day one of the app. They came to the app, they dropped out, never came back to the app. So it was back to engineering, back to first principles for 3 months for me and my product team. And then from December, January, we started looking at these numbers and everything has been going up since then. And to the second question, how do you manage identity? Super important question for us. How do you ensure that the users who are on the app, these are teenagers?
Yeah.
So first of all, we targeted teenagers. Our acquisition funnels have been designed in a way that only teenagers were being targeted for the app. From ASO, from Insta, from referrals, we get 30-40% of our users organically. So teenagers invite their friends.
Wow.
We have power teenagers on the app who invite their friends, who get a lot of incentives to invite their friends, build their own communities on the app. So overall, 60-70% users were coming from the networks. So teenager led to teenagers coming in. But after experimenting, age gating for 3-4 months, now we have built so much confidence that teenagers truly want our app that we have finally made our app age gated. So you and me cannot sign up on the app because you have to either use your Google credentials or Facebook credentials. And we have Google and Facebook have your birth dates, your real age data. So we have gated the app with that data, which is almost 90% accurate. If you're not a teenager, you actually cannot sign up for the app anymore. So now it's absolutely age gated at the entry. Second, every piece of content that goes into the app is moderated, was being moderated by humans 6 months back. Now we have inbuilt our own AI/ML driven moderation tools. Every meme that is being posted, every static image, every short video goes through a AI-driven moderation. And we have built a teen-focused moderation there. That what is the content that is appropriate for this age, which has learned over time, which is still getting better and better every day, not perfect. It's still 30% content gets filtered out for human intervention on moderation. but 70% we are able to moderate and keep every piece of content, every piece of conversation on the app teen appropriate. After that also, if a user leaks in or a content goes out on the app, we have given enough power to our community managers and to every user to flag off content, report any user on which the community and the backend immediately takes an action. So it's a safe space. I mean, I have seen teenagers discussing their sense of identity, teenagers coming from LGBTQ community, honestly discussing their opinions, creating LGBTQ clubs on Uable, bringing like-minded on board and feeling very safe on the app. I have seen girl teenagers coming on board, discussing very, very sensitive issues with other girls and feeling absolutely comfortable in this space, because that's the feedback we get. This is absolutely a safe space where I have entire control on my identity, on my friends, on my interests, on the kind of content I want to consume. I think for us, that has been super important.
That's amazing. And that's actually where, you know, I think giving that much power or control to your individual users as well as the community, I think is very important to build this sort of self-regulatory system, right? I mean, oftentimes the other social networks, there's always someone complaining about how the you know, there's not enough, I would say, moderation, or there is too much moderation. Yeah. Always something or the other happens. I think this way, the platform, like you said, steps back, just builds the tools, and you let the community sort of self-regulate and do its thing. You know, as you open this up more, Saurabh, like what's the next stage? Like, obviously, product will keep evolving. Like you said, you'll obviously have to cater to. It's a very demanding user base, I'm sure. Nice. You know, like you said yourself, teenagers soon stop being teenagers as well. So one is, what are you thinking about when they become, let's say, older than what they are supposed to, than what the app is meant for? What's that sort of exit path for them? Have you thought about that? And of course, for your own base to sort of grow, how India specific is your current vision versus, let's say, global? Or is there any other segment you're trying to think, are you thinking about as expanding your base?
Yeah, I think the second question first here. Right now, we are focused on India. Rather, when we launched our closed beta and ran our Discord community and launched our closed beta app within those 6 months, we were working with teenagers from 30 plus countries. And it was super exciting to see that almost from every country, we got similar response. They were teenagers from US, teenagers from South America, teenagers from African countries, teenagers from Indonesia, teenagers from Singapore, India, teenagers from countries like Nepal, Pakistan. I mean, we ensured that once we are doing a closed beta, we understand the teenager persona across the globe, right? But then when we came out of closed beta, we realized a lot of localization, a lot of contextualization needs to be done in building a social app, be it content, be it the kind of recommendations you show, be it the kind of discussions these teenagers engage with each other. While 10-20% discussions amongst the global teenagers were scalable, but 80-90% discussions were very, very localized because the context is always localized. So we realized for an early stage startup, taking up the ambition of connecting all these countries together was too much to handle, frankly. I mean, if you can focus on just one country and a large market where you understand teenagers really well, get to millions of active users on the app, then it would be easy. You'll have more funds, more resources to replicate the same success story across other countries, the way many of the social networks have been able to do in the past. So that was one strategic call that we took, that will focus on India, get to millions of users, millions of active users, at least 20-30 million active user base first in India, crack the monetization model. And then when we say this has been done, we replicate country by country. And then you will see that faster growth will happen because we would have done mistakes, we would have learned our lessons while working on one geography. So that is one important call that we took. And second, coming to the first question, I think for us, acquisition happens when you're a teenager, but we don't have an exit route for anyone, right? For us, it's very simple. You go to college, you're still pursuing your interests, you're part of the community, you're like an alumni to the community now, and you give back, you keep contributing back. Now, there are teenagers who worked with us last year, and now many of them have gone into colleges because for us, the sweet spot is 15 to 19. That is the age group where we see maximum activity on the app. And 18, 19-year-olds, many of them are in first or second year of colleges, right? So now they have become creators, creating content, managing communities, launching gaming communities, design communities, college counseling communities, just academic help communities. They're helping other teenagers crack exams, solve their doubts, etc. in their own communities. So I think that relationship is already building on the app. We don't have plans to launch Uable in colleges right now formally because our task is cut out. We're absolutely obsessed with making teen years better, helping every teenager achieve their potential. But as they grow, they stick on the app naturally because they are becoming creators, community managers, etc. So there's a lot of incentive for them to continue on the app. So there's no exit route right now. Their aim is to keep adding more and more user base. We are launching something called private school clubs very soon on Uable. So far, all the acquisition was happening directly to the app. Now, our product is so mature that we are inviting teens of every school. We are not going to adults, of course. We're inviting teens of every school to create their own school clubs on Uable. So that will enable their own friends coming on board, build more stickiness from day one, and grow organically. We will not have to spend on digital marketing anymore. So these are some of the things on plans on growth and focused on India for next 1.5-2 years at least, very clearly.
Wonderful, wonderful. I mean, you clearly, within that itself, I'm sure you have your work really cut out. So like you said, there's more and more teens coming into the fray every day. So yes, there's obviously so much depth here and it's a great market, I'm sure. So we will keep looking forward to all the cool stuff that, you build. Obviously, maybe me and you may not participate in all of that, but definitely the rest of the folks, even folks listening in to this podcast might want to go check it out. Sort of any closing notes about what you want to tell, let's say, the audience at large? Are you guys, are you guys hiring? What's your vision? Anything else you want to do a shout out? By all means, please share and also share where someone who's listening to this can reach you. Are you on Twitter or are you, reachable? Do you prefer LinkedIn, email, whatever? And just give us a handle that we can reach you on.
Sure, man. So I think one thing that I would like to say is we are inviting aspiring creators to Uable for sure, because a big part of our strategy going forward in the next 12 months is how can we get creators who can add value to a teenager's life, to build communities, to build premium content on Uable app for teenagers. It could be an educator, it could be entrepreneurs, it could be podcasters like you. I mean, teenagers are interested in every field, designers, stand-up comedians, educators. We're inviting creators of a diverse age group now, not just teenagers, to come explore this amazing user base of teenagers, because Uable is the only place where people will find such a huge engaged crowd of teenagers. So any creator who wants to build communities, build premium content, drive monetization, add value, create impact. We are getting some creators who say, I don't want to monetize. I just want to launch a private club for teenagers and keep adding value to their lives every day. So that's a message I want to send out to the entire community, that if you are someone who can directly, who wants to build a community for teenagers, build great content, please reach out to us. We would be more than willing to work with you, help you develop your own communities, help you develop your own creator strategy on Uable and go forward. And as far as reaching out to us is concerned, I am reachable on my email ID every day, which is saurabh@uable.com, or on Twitter, which is saurabh_learn, reachable on Twitter DMs as well. That is where anyone can reach out to me. Yeah, I think that's it from my side.
For those of you listening, we'll of course share more details once this episode goes out, and on how to reach Saurabh and how to reach the Uable community, especially if you're a teenager. And for wherever you're listening to this podcast, whichever app, please, as a suggestion, please do leave a rating, a review. Tell us how you liked it. You can reach me on my Twitter handle. It's @RachelAditya on Twitter. So leave us a comment, leave us some feedback, and hope you enjoyed this very, very fun conversation with Saurabh, and learned about what they're building at Uable. So Saurabh, thank you so much. This was amazing. Really, really looking forward to this next chapter of your own personal journey, having seen the amazing stuff you've done in the past. It sounds really exciting, and hope to catch up with you as well at some point. When the world opens up in Bangalore. So looking forward to it. Thank you so much for doing this.
Same, man. It was great being here. Always wonderful to reconnect and always wonderful to reflect back on my own journey. Looking forward to catching up in person soon.
Thank you. Thank you, and all the best.
See you. Bye.